Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Have you been thinking of becoming a Saints Happy Hour patron? We have an offer you can't refuse. Sign up, and if you don't think Saints Happy Hour is the best daily Saints podcast and you aren't having a blast chatting on our private Discord channel with other Saints fans, we will refund your money. No questions asked. If you sign up at the $10 level, you can even keep our Boost Bundle welcome gift after the refund. You have absolutely nothing to lose, so go to saintshappyhour.com and sign up today.
Should the Saints trade the 14th overall pick to the Carolina Panthers? And if they did, what would it cost and would it be worth it? Thomas, hit that intro.
Welcome to the award-winning Saints Happy Hour podcast. Seriously, this podcast has won awards. American standards are dropping every day. The show features Ralph, the best host in the world, who can barely pronounce his own name, much less anyone else's.
Marcus Callaway.
Dave is that dude who loves taking bathroom breaks. He's mad about almost anything, so make sure to lower your volume when he speaks.
Put that freaking clown meme back up that I made.
Jesus Christ.
Andrew has sources, watches tapes, and knows football. He rarely shows up on time and wants to commit crimes to help the Saints win.
Sean Payton would have done illegal things. Don't tell me I'm wrong, because you know it's true.
Oh, and there's also Kevin, who is great at doing mock drafts, but struggles to actually watch Saints games or have a functioning relationship.
Budrich wants to know how the doctor's doing.
That ended.
Anyway, grab a drink, sit back, and enjoy the insanity.
All right, everybody, welcome to another edition of Saints Happy Hour Podcast. Find us wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. If you don't give us 5 stars, I'm going to hunt you down personally. If you find us on YouTube, subscribe to our channel, like us, spread it wherever you hang out on social media. I got Kevin with me. I got Thomas with us running the show back and forth. Kevin looking very buff, working out, looking tremendous, Kevin.
Thank you.
So today's episode of the show is based on a tweet that the 33rd team sent out. It's a website and they're on social. And they said they proposed a trade for where the Saints trade with the Carolina Panthers, the 14th overall pick, and Carolina gets the pick and they select Brock Bowers. Now, before we get into that, I tweeted at them and I said, hey, listen, the 33rd and the 39th pick ain't getting it done for 14. One, because I don't think that's enough even on the trade chart, barely. But second of all, Kevin, we got the in-division rival tax. And if you're Carolina and you want to trade with Mickey Loomis, you're going to have to pay more than 33 and 39. So I proposed an idea in the Discord, and it was kind of mixed, and it was very mixed on Twitter too. I said, listen, if the Saints are going to trade with Carolina, it's got to be more than 33 and 39. But if I said you got 33, 39, 65, and a 2026 second round pick, would you do it? And of course, you, president and chairman of the Trade Downs Association, said, hell yes, I'm going to do it. So we said, hey, if the Saints did this, how would that draft look? Look, could it be amazing? Could it be fun? But before we get to the picks and everything, give me your upside and the downside of trading with a division rival and knowing they're going to get Brock Bowers, a darling of draft Twitter, a darling of Saints Twitter, Carolina will have him in this world we're living in where we do this trade. How do you feel about that? And are you, would you be concerned that that would, could really come back to haunt you?
Yeah, I absolutely. I would be concerned. Look, I would be concerned about that because, look, this is this guy, it presumably is the next 10 to 12 years going to be a top offensive weapon for the franchise. And look, their quarterback is not that good. He may end up being a bust, but putting that guy on that team immediately raises it's like the rising tide lifting all boats. Plus, it's going to be a division, you know, division rivals. The division games can be finicky. You know, there's chances you could go 1-1 against this team, and they could still find a way to go 4-13 or 5-12. But one of those wins is against you.
Let's say he's. I mean, I'm not going to say he's going to. If the, you know, worst case scenario for the Saints or whatever, I'm not going to say he's going to be Gronk because Gronk to me is the best tight end of all time. But let's say Brock Bowers is Jimmy Graham, Travis Kelce.
Hold on a minute, man. No,
that's
quality.
You're literally like, okay, he's not going to be the greatest of all time. He's not going to be the
top five.
But what if he's A tier? Like
A tier?
Way to go out on a limb, Ralph.
Well, no, it's not so much going out on a limb, but like that's a really difficult scenario for the Saints. Whereas if he's Ben Watson, it's like, who cares? But if he's like an A-tier borderline Hall of Fame tight end, you're dealing with him for a decade.
Yeah.
Would you I would be perfectly fine with him because I don't think – like, I don't care how great a tight end is, Gronk, whoever. Like, he's not lifting Carolina to, like, immeasurable heights.
No.
So, like, I'd be fine with it as long as the Saints nail the pick. The thing is, though, Kevin – for me, if I'm the Saints, I have to fatally damage this draft for Carolina where, like, they might get Brock Bowers, but they're not really getting anything. They're not getting anything else. Like, I can't have them being like, they get Brock Bowers, and they still pick at 65, and they still – No. This draft has got to be, like, Brock Bowers and two other dudes from, like, the fifth round. Like, I can't have them nailing this draft. It's got to be Brock Bowers is it. Like kind of like Davenport in 2018 for the Saints.
Right. So let me go back up here. Yeah. So your scenario with the 2026 pick, I couldn't do because PFF doesn't offer the ability to trade in 2026.
So what did you do?
And yeah, I would have taken the 2026 second. But instead I went with a third rounder in 2025. So here's the scenario that I'm going to be working with. Like the idea was, you have to move 14 to Carolina. What can you get in return?
Yep.
So I get 33, 39, 65, 101, and their third rounder from 2025. Mm. And in exchange, I give them 14 and 45. So
yeah.
Let me look up what Carolina is going to wind up with here, because Carolina is going to have, they're going to wind up with 14, 45, and then 141, 142, and 240. So they're going to have two picks in the top 50, and then they're waiting.
Yeah.
And then they've got three picks the rest of the way, one of which is like a late seventh rounder.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. And I'm getting their third rounder from 2025, which is their only pick. They've got a round one and then round four. So they're going to have one first round pick, and then they're going to be sitting again and waiting a very long time in 2025.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with that. Like, that means they have to really nail drafts. Like, listen, Brock Bowers can be good or even great, but they're going to have to really nail picks.
Yeah.
They're going to have to nail 45.
Yeah, I hate the fact
they're going to have to nail a bunch of other picks and whatever their first round pick is in 2025, which presumably would still be top 6, top 7, probably higher. Mm-hmm. They'd have to nail that. I Brock Bowers looks like he's going to be a good player, but I'm fine trading him to get a haul.
Yeah.
The obvious problem with this, or the obvious issue, is, well, you're completely out of the first round.
That's right. That's right.
So all the really good tackles, they're going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the really good edge defenders are gone. And those are the Saints' two biggest needs. So that means you now have to look like, this tells me right off the bat, I need two tackles coming out of this draft, at least one of which is going to start.
Yeah. And it's a harder proposition to do. The one thing I don't like, I hate the fact that you had to give Carolina 45, but you went from two top 100 picks to four.
Right.
And you got it. And you're going to get another top 100 pick next year in the third round, which if Carolina's a top 10, if they're picking in the top 10, which is likely, I would say, you're looking at a top 75 pick.
Right. But the other thing about it is the Saints currently have six picks in 2025. Me getting the extra third now gives them seven again.
Yeah.
So the Saints need more rounds in the gun.
This is challenging though. Let's get to it. Let's get to pick 30. Let's get to pick 33. And I know, knowing you, you're not gonna get aggressive and try to trade back into that first round.
No.
I stuck with this.
The Carolina trade was the only trade I made.
That's right. So what do you got at 33? It'll be a long ass wait, Kevin, because you know Thursday night we won't get to pick a damn thing. But come Friday night, you lead off, and you have pick 39. So what was available?
Okay, so I'll tell you. I'll treat this kind of like we were treating the official mocks for Dave and Andrew, where I'll tell you four players, and you know it's whatever. So we had Braden Fisk, the interior defensive lineman from Florida State.
Saints Happy Hour Discord, darling.
We had cornerback Kamari Lassiter from Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Wide receiver Troy Franklin from Oregon. And defensive edge defender Chop Robinson out of Penn State.
Ooh, see. That's a tough one. I got to say, I think of all of those guys.
Yeah.
And I know you said you can't. You're not going to make any trades, and we're not going to do any trades. But I'm going to tell you, if Chop Robinson was there, Mickey Loomis's phone would be vibrating so much Friday during the day, it might fall off the table. Like, I think teams would be they'd be falling all over themselves trying to get the 33rd pick from the Saints, Chop Robinson. I think a ton of teams would have him and be like, he's a top 20 guy on our board. We got to get him. Let's give the Saints a ridiculous thing because he's so valuable. I think, like, hey, you still got a guy at edge, even though you signed him, Chase Young. He still got the neck issues. He's no short thing. I think Chop Robinson, you don't run to the podium because you're first, so you just kind of stroll. But I would say he would be my pick. But what did you do?
So I ended up going with Chop Robinson.
Mm-hmm. Fun name too.
Yeah. You know, a little bit shorter, but not too much. He's described the description on him is alien-like athlete.
Yeah.
So I will gladly take an alien-like athlete at 33. Mm-hmm. And at the very least, listen, Cam Jordan.
Yeah.
Not getting any younger. Maybe he retires after this year. Maybe he hangs around a little bit longer, but it's not like he's going to suddenly produce like he's 3 or 4 years younger. So you got to manage that. Chase Young could be a one-year rental, and he still has the neck, you know, the neck issue that, you know, there's always going to be question marks there. And then you got Peyton Turner, who absolutely needs to be replaced.
And this,
so this guy fits right in.
Yeah, this does. And he would mean, Kevin, the Saints have said all offseason, Jeff Ireland, Dennis Allen, hey, maybe we need to go a little smaller at defensive end. Usually we like guys in that 275 to 290 range. We like big, giant defensive ends because that can hold the edge, that can stuff the run. It's a principle of the Dennis Allen defense. But they've said all offseason, hey, maybe we'll change our prototype. You know, we got to deal with these mobile quarterbacks who are killing us. Maybe we'll change the prototype. Chop Robinson would do that. Here's the thing, Kevin. His RAS is 9.68. And it's that good, even though his composite size is poor because he's only 6 foot and he only weighs 254, but his composite speed grade, elite. Composite explosion grade, elite, you know, agility grade. They don't have it because he didn't do the three cone, but he had an 8.1 on the shuttle. So he would be a great pick at 33. At least you fill the need. I would expect the Saints if some kind of way they did do this trade, which it's unlikely, but I still think it's very reasonable because what Carolina has offered here, Mickey Loomis would at least have to think about it. They'd probably have to sign like a veteran, like a Becton or something, at an offensive line to kind of like fix it. But like, there was nothing worth having at 33, Kevin, on the offensive line. What did they have at 39? I'm getting scared now.
Right. So here's where the issue comes in. That I alluded to at the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
So at 39, here were four names available. And again, I just picked four, and I picked mm-hmm. these four to sort of be mysterious. Kingsley, Suamatea.
Yeah.
Kingsley Suamatea, the tackle from BYU.
Oh, yeah.
Enos Rakestraw Jr., the cornerback from Mizzou.
Mm-hmm.
Tavion Sanders, the tight end from Texas, and Michael Penix Jr., the quarterback from Washington.
What's the RAS on the Kingsley guy, the tackle? See, that's the thing that I would want. I mean, Michael Penix Jr. would excite Saints Twitter, and you know, if you want to do a Jack car,
the RAS on Kingsley Suamatea, 9.35.
Okay.
But his height is abysmal at the position. It's 2.49.
Woo! My God.
His weight is good. His bench is tremendous. Composite speed grade is elite.
Yeah.
But I don't like this guy at this. I don't like him as your first tackle because he's talked about as like a project guy.
Well, you get, but once you get into this second round, kind of, well, 39 is still pretty. Yeah, I think that might be a little bit of a reach. His speed grade is good because remember the new scheme that the Saints are going to be running for the first time in about 20 years. We're going to see a new offense. The Shanahan offense requires agility, speed with the tackles,
right.
Do a lot of that. So that's interesting.
Right.
I mean,
No. It would be one thing if the Saints, you know, traded back a little bit and somehow managed to get another pick later. Like if they somehow managed to trade back to 17 or 18, picked a tackle first, mm-hmm. and decided to take this guy later and got two tackles either right off the top or tackle other position tackle. That's one thing. Because again, mm-hmm. the write-up on this guy is basically he's a guy that could be good, but he needs time.
Yeah.
The Saints and Dennis Allen do not have that time.
That's right.
That you, I said this at the start of this. You need someone who can start year one or challenge to start year one and pretend and get starting reps.
Well, yeah,
That now, here and now. So I ended up passing on him.
So who did you pick?
So I thought, what are the other needs here? We got the edge defender, and there were other good edge defenders available at 39, but I'm not going edge back to back. I decided to go with the wide receiver, Troy Franklin, out of Oregon. And I like, what did I like? I like the fella's height.
Yeah.
He's, you know, he's 6'3".
Mm-hmm.
He played all 3 years, you know, the last 3 years, played all the games. He really took off last season, you know, 14 touchdowns over nearly 1,400 receiving yards.
Yep.
This is a guy, he can... Again, the write-up is obviously he needs to get stronger or whatever, you know, stuff like, you know, like semantic stuff that NFL writers type up. But they said he could immediately be fitted in as a team's number two wide receiver.
I mean,
what have I been saying
that the Saints need
is a definitive number two, and that's this guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's a little
This guy. You have now, if this guy actually starts, you now have Olave, this guy, Troy Franklin, Rashid Shaheed, and A.J. Perry. There we go. We're good.
That's right.
I'm good at wide receiver.
I mean, and this guy, his height's a little small. He's 6'1", 176, you know, so again.
He's 6'3".
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's 6'3".
Okay. I'm looking at the Troy Frank. He's a Troy Franklin from Oregon, right?
Right.
Yeah, I have it at six. I have his height. Well, yeah, you're right. 6'1". I had it at 6'1". So maybe they did it wrong. But anyway, his res is 9.33. Composite grade, speed grade, great. Explosion, great. Like, he's a good pick. But this to me, Kevin, and not to deviate too far from this exercise that we're doing, but I do think this exercise, what it makes me think of is we've traded down, and granted, we traded out of the first round, so it's difficult. But I think it brings to mind the issue with the Saints is, you know, even if they, and I know they know that they know their roster. If a team offers them a pick like Cincinnati or somebody, just say, hey, move down five or six spots, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, move down six spots and we'll give you pick 85. And you're Cincinnati. You're like, oh, pick 85. That's great because we have this giant gap between picks because we don't have a third and a fourth.
Right.
This is a great idea. But I just wonder if the Saints will be like, man... They got two tackles on this board we really like. And if we move down to 19, we might not get either one of them. And the next tackle we have graded is number 50. And I just worry that puts them in this box where they feel like we have to get a tackle. And even though trading down and getting more picks, we know they need bodies. The roster's old. That's true. They're like, we can't risk. We don't accept getting Paul from Houston, who's got the pterodactyl length. We won't accept getting him because we got him rated 50 on our board. We got to have better than that for tackle. And I just worry that it puts him in this box.
So in those cases, what I look at is what are the other needs and can we get somebody at one of those needs that we think can either play day one or threaten to play day one.
Yeah.
And we've got that at edge, which is a need. It's tackle and edge, and then wide receiver, which to me is an important need. I'd probably, you know, you could argue that's the third need on this team.
You could. Because
you could argue that. Depending on how you could. And again, it depends on what they do with Marcus Lattimore at corner. If Lattimore goes, then corner suddenly is now the need. But none of that will happen until after the draft anyway.
That's
so we're working ourselves into a shoot, so to speak. So,
well, no, I just think, you know, the Saints are a twisted Olave knee injury from me and you doing a preview on a Thursday or a Friday in September, October, looking at the receiver group and just groaning. Like, that's where they are at receiver. And I think it's overshadowed a little bit because, as fans, we love Rashid Shaheed.
Right.
OT Perry was great.
OT. This ain't overtime. This ain't off-track betting Perry.
AT Perry.
OT into Perry.
But he had some great moments. And as fans, you know, we're always like, 12 catches, we spin it forward. We're like, he's a starter. Nah, it's, not really.
Again, Rashid Shaheed, great number three. I don't believe he's ready to be the number two. AT Perry, good to great number four. I don't think he's ready to be the number three.
Yeah.
What this does is this now gives you a solid one through four. Solid one through four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And listen, if Perry hits and you're like, oh, he's the number two. If Franklin hits, so what? You're deep at receiver. Receivers can get hurt just as much as any other position. And you're deep and you're good. So I like this. I'm quaking about the no tackle situation. So where are we going next?
All right. We're at pick 65.
Yeah.
Which puts us just at the start of round three, I believe. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yep. First pick of round three. So some of the guys available: Jaden Hicks, safety out of Washington State. Mm-hmm. Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker out of Texas A&M. Jonathan Brooks, halfback out of Texas. And Blake Fisher, tackle out of Notre Dame.
All right. What's Blake Fisher? First thing, Raz, what's he rated? Is it a reach? Is it a...
So Blake Fisher, PFF has him ranked at 78.
Okay.
Let me get you the Raz here.
Yeah, I'm looking.
The Blake Fisher Raz, 7.65.
Ooh.
Yep.
Yeah.
But speed, agility, and explosion are all listed as good. Size is listed as okay.
Yeah.
So you got that.
I mean,
Hicks is a touted safety. But the thing about that is I don't think the Saints need a safety.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they need one this year. Next year could be another story, depending on what happens with Tyrann Mathieu.
You look at
Edgerrin Cooper. The Saints could use another linebacker, but is it a need over who they have in there?
How much Cooper's Raz?
So let me get...
Because here's the thing, like, it's a difficult situation, because if we're trying to do the draft like the Saints would do it, after doing a trade that the Saints are unlikely to do, it's hard because if you want to pick a draft like the Saints pick, you kind of have to be a prisoner of Raz. Like, they don't pick dudes under nine. They just don't.
So Edgerrin Cooper, his Raz is a 9.34.
Yeah.
He has elite speed, but he had no agility testing. Explosion was good. The size grade is okay. His weight was in the red. Then you go and you look at the halfback, Jonathan Brooks. Brooks had like a tremendous 2023 season, but and he was okay the season prior to that, but that's because he was sitting behind why can't I remember the guy's name now? He was sitting behind Bijan Robinson and another guy. So he really had to wait to get his chance to start. He started the one season, kicked ass, and now he's declared for the draft. And so I think he's a junior coming out. Could the Saints use a guy like that? Absolutely. Absolutely. You got, you know, currently you got Jordan Mims, Kendra Miller, who knows what they'll do with Kendra Miller, Jamal Williams, who may or may not be around, who knows. And then you got Alvin Kamara, who, you know, dinged up or suspended or you know, well, he was suspended last year, but like dinged up. Halfback is a is one of those situations that the Saints are going to have to address. But I think this pick, too early to worry about halfback. So what I picked the tackle, Blake Fisher. I reached a little bit, and I went with the tackle. All right, well, we lost Ralph, but I'll keep talking until he chimes back in. I reached a little bit, and I grabbed the tackle, Blake Fisher. So my thought process is you can only wait so long before you got to take the tackle. And so, and I thought you got to grab, we're grabbing two for sure. So I picked Blake Fisher. So that takes us now to pick 101. What's funny is Ralph is going to chime back in, is going to ding back in, and I'm going to have to just like talk my way, repeat most of this, but it's whatever. It's whatever. I you know, I'm fine talking. So we go to pick 101. Here are the four that that I was like really thinking about. You had Dominic Puny, I don't know. Dominic P, the tackle out of Kansas.
Phoenix.
Michael Pratt, the quarterback out of Tulane. Michael Hall Jr., interior defensive lineman out of Ohio State.
You gotta go Tulane, man.
Right. Well, yeah. No, I just listed. I threw him on there just to like fuck with Dave. You know, because Dave, I'm sure, you know, if Dave hears this or somebody hears it, they'll tell Dave, and Dave will be like, "Oh, he was considering the Tulane guy." And then Cade Stover, the tight end out of Ohio State. I'll blow up Dave's bridge right now. We're not taking a quarterback. At pick 101, and I'm not going with defensive interior because I think defensive interior, you're okay at the moment. I think maybe next year is like the time to possibly draft one, or draft one high, I should say. So that left me with the tackle, getting another tackle back to back, or the tight end. I ended up going with the tight end. I picked Cade Stover out of Ohio State. Cade Stover is touted as a good run blocker, and the Saints need as much blocking help as they can get. Well, why don't you take the tackle, Kevin? Well, Cade Stover is still a tight end. He still plays very well. He wouldn't have been rated this high if he was just a tight end who blocked. I'll take care of Ralph's inevitable Raz question. Even though he's not here to ask, I'll give you the Raz on Cade Stover. Cade Stover's Raz, 8.33. Speed is great. Size, leaves something to be desired. His agility grade and his composition grade, they didn't have enough info to make a full rating system for, so no composite grade on either. But, and again, they gave me the D plus on that, but he was in that zone for drafting. I guess they didn't like that I maybe reached a little bit for him, but in terms of what the Saints need, the Saints do need a tight end. I know they've got Juwan Johnson and allegedly Foster Moreau, and Taysom Hill still qualifies as a tight end, but I don't know what to make of Foster Moreau. And Juwan Johnson just isn't knocking my socks off.
Maybe they can trade for
I wanted to get a tight end, and I've gotten tight ends later. Like, there have been good tight ends available later, but who knows on the day of the draft if that's really going to hold up. Like, do I really think Theo Johnson from Penn State is going to be there at, like, pick 150 or whatever? I do not. He's very highly, you know, he seems to be going a lot higher than 150, and sometimes he's there, but I don't think teams are going to sit on a guy like that until that late. I could see this guy going at 120. So I decided, let me grab the tight end now. The highest rated one of those guys was Cade Stover. They make a big deal out of him being a good blocker. The Saints need blocking help on offense. So that was my mindset there. So now we progress to pick 150. My options here were Mason Smith, interior defensive lineman from LSU, Logan Lee, interior defensive lineman from Iowa, Theo Johnson, tight end out of Penn State, and Zach Zintner, the guard from Michigan. I don't believe Mason Smith, I'm trying to think, was because there were two defensive interior linemen that were there at RAS. Like Mason Smith's RAS 8.98, real good, but I just kept thinking, you know, is he gonna come in there and immediately challenge Shepard or Saunders or challenge Brissee? And I was just like, I don't think he is. Like, he would be a real good number two there.
When do you, Kevin, when do you stop? Do the Saints sort of turn off the we need a guy here versus whatever, just best player available? Like,
right, best player available.
Like when they drafted Perry last year, they traded with Denver. They used the pick they got from the Troutman trade, I think, and they just took Perry, right? And it's like, we just love him. We're taking him.
Yeah.
We move. So, like, when do you sort of shift in there? But you got, well, we got, you know, you got a tackle, you got a tight end now.
I tell you, if you're going best player available,
mm-hmm.
if you were going best player available here, your options, I mean, you've really got three that are tight together in Mason Smith, Logan Lee, and Theo Johnson. And Zach Zintner was a little bit further back.
I can't believe it. Our boy, you picked a tight end over, while my computer was crashing, getting right. computer aids and getting a blue screen. You picked a tight end, not our boy, Theo Johnson?
So I'll repeat myself. Cade Stover is touted as a real good blocker. I realize the Saints need good blocking, both run blocking and possibly pass protection. Obviously, I could have gone with another tackle, but I wanted another offensive weapon at the very least. So yeah. I rolled the dice on Cade Stover. And plus, I don't think Theo Johnson will realistically be there at 150.
No, I don't think so either.
So I went with Cade Stover.
I just feel like... Yeah, go ahead. I know. I agree with you. I think Theo Johnson is one of those dudes that everybody has him slotted in that 90 to like 120 range. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to sneak into round two. I think he's going to go top 64.
Wait. You literally just said 90 to 120, and now you're picking, and now you're saying.
No, I think he's. I think people. People think he's going to go into the 90 to 120 range. I think he's going to go higher. I think a team's going to look at him and be like, that dude has everything we want in a tight end. We're going to coach him up, and they're going to take him. I think he's going to go higher than everybody projects.
Tomas, you can check the timestamp on that one, please.
I'm just saying.
So, anywho, we're back to pick 150. And, yeah, if you were going best player available – Mason Smith is the highest rated out of those four guys, and I think he was the highest guy listed out of everybody. But I did a little reachy, and I went with Zach Zintner, the guard out of Michigan.
Yeah,
Michigan.
I decided we needed a Michigan man, especially after drafting an Ohio State guy. Right. So. Where am I? Hang on. I just lost my... There we go. Zintner. I need to get... I got to make sure I'm... Yeah. Well, for some reason, there's no Raz listed on this guy. Raz, Zach, Zintner. Yep. No Raz lit. I can't find anything that jumps out on the Raz. So there, he may not have a Raz. But my thought process with him was he's a giant human being.
He is. Yes, he is.
He's 6'6", 320.
Like Penning.
Hang on, man. Don't start with me. Don't start with me on that. Here's the deal. Here are your starting guards. And Penning's a tackle anyway.
Yeah.
Your starting guards are James Hurst and Cesar Ruiz, and your backups are Mark Evans II and Ooh. Nick Saldiveri, who we got nothing on. God only knows what's going to happen with him. So
yeah,
my knowns are James Hurst and Cesar Ruiz. I'm going to pick the guy who played on a national championship team at guard, and I'm going to throw him out there and either light a fire under James Hurst and Cesar Ruiz's ass, or one of them is moving back down the depth chart. Again, name of the game is protect Derek Carr.
Yeah.
And try and open holes for a running game.
Yeah.
That's my process.
He missed the final three games last year, suffering a broken tibia and fibula in the win against Ohio State. So that's a little bit concerning, but listen, he's been first team All Big Ten.
That explains why his draft stock has dropped this far.
Yeah. So like I like this draft. I like the fact that you filled an edge with a guy who's going to contribute, I think, right away, be in the mix, a wide receiver potentially in the mix. You strengthen there. And your other sort of plan is, hey, I can't get myself a definitive starting offensive tackle, but I'll do a tackle, I'll do a guard, I'll do a tight end that can block, and we'll hope to sort of lift it up, lift the foundation of the offensive line with all these bits and pieces. I like this strategy a lot.
You want me to finish? I can finish round five.
Let's do it.
And then, so I'll finish round five, and then we can show the full mock.
That's right.
So at pick 168, I had linebacker J.D. Bertrand of Notre Dame, tackle Javon Foster out of Mizzou, defensive interior Miles Murphy from North Carolina, and safety Jalen Simpson from Auburn.
Ooh, I like Murphy. I like the interior.
Murphy's Law.
Mm-hmm.
Miles Murphy. Let me just give you his Raz if I can find, if he has one.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah. That's the wrong boy. They got a different Miles Murphy. Boy, there was a different Miles Murphy.
Oh, yeah. They got the Miles Murphy from Texas, too.
Well, no, there was a Miles Murphy from Clemson who was drafted last year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so there is no, I can't find a Raz on this Miles Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
So, let me just get out of there. Hang on, click out of that. Scroll down, find Miles Murphy. And we're going to just keep, we're walking.
But I like this, because here's the thing, Kevin. As you just add bodies, I think with the draft capital the Saints are going into this draft,
yeah,
I think it's incredibly important that they get two starters and a contributor. But with the amount of capital they have, I think it's a very, very challenging ask. With this draft, we drafted all these guys. I think asking them, saying, get me two starters and a contributing backup, I think it's much, much more likely with these extra bodies in the top 100. And maybe you can even look at it and say, maybe we can get two starters and two really good contributors. And then suddenly, boom, you got four guys added into your roster to make it younger, to help you. So
I'll tell you what. So I'll just tell you what I did here instead of belaboring the point. I took the tackle, Javon Foster. I said, we are getting two tackles in this draft.
Yeah.
And, the PFF mock really liked it, really liked the value there.
Yeah.
His Raz, 7.77, came off great on explosion, no agility testing. Speed grade was okay.
Yeah.
But the numbers, like, he had a bad 40-yard dash, but the numbers got better with the 20-yard and then better again on the 10-yard. It's like, I don't need a tackle to have some great 40-yard dash. I just need you to get up and block the guy. So the height and the weight are listed as okay. He didn't get a bench test. Again, looking for depth, looking for guys who can threaten. You know, you got Ramchek, who's going to be questionable. You got Landon Young, who's questionable. You got Trevor Penalty, and you got Udo as your tackles. And it's like, we need bodies. We need people who can come in here and potentially breathe life into the roster, especially in this scenario where we've traded out of the first round and all the top flight tackles were gone. Mm-hmm. Like, I still think, even if you got one of the top flight tackles, I still think you need to get a tackle later anyway. And in a lot of my mock drafts, I grab a tackle early and then I come back and I sometimes get Javon Foster as
the thing is with Foster that could sort of, even though his RAS is lower than what the Saints usually do, we're getting in that round where I think they would potentially take him. The thing is, his explosion grade is tremendous, right? And his size, it's fine. Not great, but it's so fine. And the speed, it's not poor on RAS. It's okay. So then it just comes down to when the Saints look at the tape, do they see him and say, hey, he's a scheme fit for what we want to do? And even though the RAS says his speed is just okay, on the tape, it's fine. Now, we don't know that because we're not grading the tape. But I think he's a guy that could fit into that, don't necessarily have to preach the RAS gospel. Because the thing that I look at RAS, Kevin, is I know the Saints only love their nines, but as long as you've got a guy that his RAS, if he doesn't have a section that's poor or horrible, I still think it's possible for the Saints to do it. And listen, like you said, they need tackles. And listen, not just starters like Landon Young, Pete, like these guys are gone. You have to replace them with somebody, because just because you picked the tackle in the first round, what if he stinks like Penning? What if it takes him a while to get going? What if he gets hurt? Like, you need depth, bodies. And will they go for veteran depth in the free agency dollar store of those guys that left? Or are they going to go young at depth? Whichever way they go, you still need the bodies. So I think taking two tackles is more likely than not for the Saints, just as to where they are. Because think about it, Kevin, like I said, Pete gone, right?
Right.
Landon Young, do they want to bring him back? They want somebody to bring in, compete with him, maybe push him off the roster. So I really think, this trade exercise or not, like, I think there's a very high likelihood that the Saints do indeed go two tackles in this draft.
There have been some mocks I've done where I've even taken three. I've taken one. Oh, wow. I've taken one at 14, or if I trade back to like 17 or 18, I take one there. I take one a little later, and then I take one at the very end. And that's usually, you know, sometimes it's Nate Thomas from, where is he? The Raging Cage, it's ULL, I believe.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, but I was just throwing that in as a capper. I got two more picks in round five that I want to like blaze through before I,
okay.
So pick 170.
Yeah.
JD Bertrand was still available, linebacker out of Notre Dame. Dylan Johnson, running back out of Washington. Luke McCaffrey, the wide receiver out of Rice. And Jordan Jefferson, defensive interior out of Notre Dame. Or not out of Notre Dame, out of LSU, sorry.
Okay.
So what I ended up doing here was Jordan Jefferson, or actually out of those four, just off the top, the guy that jumped out at me was Luke McCaffrey. Like, great wide receiver to get that far down, but we already grabbed a wide receiver early on, and I'm like, do we really need another one when we still need more depth or bodies in other spots? So I crossed him off. Although he's a guy like I would strongly consider in this range.
And here's the thing that is going to be really interesting, and not even the tape watchers will know. And this is my question, Kevin. A guy like Luke McCaffrey, he didn't really do too much at Rice, but Reike said his RAS is good. Would a guy like Darren Rizzi look at him and be like, he's going to be awesome with the new kickoff rules? He can either cover, or he could be a returner or whatever. And that's the thing. Like, that's a total projection, right? Because college football, they don't run this kickoff, right? NFL never run this kickoff. The only place that's run it is the XFL, right? But this rule, it's coming, it's happening, right? So I wonder, like, our team's going to do this, and they're going to make some kind of like strange picks or whatever, potentially. Not that we know Luke McCaffrey is it, but I'm just going to use him as an example, where they're going to pick him and we're going to be like, huh? You picked the receiver already? And like, I don't understand. You're picking it like another, you picked in this seventh round, you picked this undersized linebacker that runs really fast, and his RAS score is a 9.3, but his size is poor and his explosion is kind of poor. Why are you picking? And the Saints will be like, new kickoff rules, bro. It's going to work. Trust us. And like, maybe it will, maybe it won't. I'm just saying, like, a lot of these guys in the later rounds and UDFAs, like, our team's going to draft guys specifically for these new kickoff rules. And they'll be like, he'll be the new kickoff guy rule that'll help us there. And he'll be a gunner or something. I don't know. I'm just saying, this new kickoff rule, it's a whole new world, and teams got to account for it. And until we start getting tape on, and Kevin, until college changes the rule, we're not going to have tape on it. Like, and if the NFL keeps it right in 3-4 years, like, it's going to just going to be really interesting how teams find guys to do this new kickoff rule if colleges don't adopt it, and they need guys to project to it. I'm just saying, it's something to think about for UDFAs, late round picks.
So, what I ultimately decided was to grab the linebacker, JD Bertrand.
Okay.
So let's see if there's a RAS on this fella. There is a RAS, although it looks incomplete. Yep, yeah. RAS is incomplete.
Okay.
So there you go. RAS incomplete on this fella.
Yeah.
I looked at it like, now... At late round five, grab a depth guy for linebacker.
That's right.
And he's got decent enough numbers. So that was my thought process on that.
Yeah.
Jordan Jefferson, I felt like, do we need the defensive interior at this at pick 170?
Mm-hmm.
I just said no. Again, what am I? I am the vibes guy.
Vibes guy. That's right.
That's all.
No, fine.
And then Dylan Johnson, like, I was just reading some stuff, and I just thought, we can pass on Dylan Johnson right here.
So
we rolled pick 175. This is the last one that I'll like get in depth about. And it's the last pick of, our last pick in round five, which is where I sort of like cut myself off. Mm-hmm. Although I finished the draft, because that's what I'm a weirdo. Daniel Laube, the running back out of New Hampshire. Jalen Sundell, tackle out of North Dakota State. Jordan Jefferson, LSU. And then edge defender Braden McGregor out of Michigan. And I went with Jordan Jefferson.
Ooh, interesting.
I briefly considered grabbing a third tackle.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably my strongest consideration. The running back, Dylan Laube, I don't know how he pronounces his name. Like, the guy's numbers are good for a guy who played in, I didn't even know New Hampshire had a university that had football. His 2022 season, the guy was off the charts. He ran for 1,200 yards. caught for nearly 500 yards, scored 15 touchdowns. Those numbers took a dip in 2023, but he's still produced. Like, this is a guy who can come in and seems like he could be an immediate player on an NFL team, despite playing for a small college. Like, small college guys can play in the pros.
Yeah.
There's a lot of examples that, you know, like, like obviously our reasoning would be, well, Hofstra, you know, Marcus Colston or whatever. Every NFL fan that sort of really pays attention, they got guys that they can list. It's like, oh yeah, so-and-so went here and so-and-so went here. And you know, there's enough evidence to show that small college guys can, can translate to the pros. So, yeah, that was my my reasoning on that. And then Braden McGregor, I thought, I just thought, I don't want to get a second edge defender in this draft.
Yeah.
I like Chop Robinson, so we'll just roll with him. And so, yeah, so that's where.
Listen, I cut the Saints. That off. The Saints lost Malcolm Roach,
and plus grabbing an LSU guy.
Right.
You get excited. some good.
Go Tigers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and but here's the thing. Malcolm Roach went to Denver. Malcolm Roach was, if you like analytics, the Saints' best run defender interior. So there's a need, or at least an opportunity, for Jefferson to fill that spot, right? So that's really interesting. So as we kind of... Finish the last couple picks for the draft, and then so we'll
I'll just read them off. I took linebacker. I grabbed another linebacker. I probably could have avoided taking this guy. That it looking back at it now, like I'm several hours removed, I might not have taken this guy. But I took Steel Chambers from. Oh,
that is a porn star quality name.
Exactly. I'm seduced by the name. That's what it is.
I mean, that is incredible name.
Yeah.
From and Ohio.
Then, and
better
then
than T- that's a better porn star name than TJ Tampa.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Steel Chambers. He was on Skinamax in the 90s. And he was solving crimes and banging chicks.
He was hanging out with TT Boy.
That's right.
Okay, enough. Come on.
Four or five of you might get that reference, and that's perfectly fine. So then I took Dylan Johnson at 199. He dropped all the way down to the end of, round six. Wow. And I thought, out of hell with it, I'll take him there. PFF had him rated at 170. I've seen him go a little bit higher.
Jamal, to me, I know it would be like a little bit of a cap hit for the Saints if they. Jamal Williams, to me, he is no lock to make the Saints.
Right.
Like there is a potential where it's either Johnson, if they draft the guy, or, you know, they'll sign a couple of UDFA running backs. There is a chance, a real chance, that we love him. He's fun. Jamal is like, there's a really a chance that he gets pushed off this roster.
Yeah. So the knock on Dylan Johnson is what is it? The running, like, his decision making is, you know, there's a question mark on his decision making. Like, he has good footwork and all that kind of stuff. And so, like, he's got tools and stuff. It's like, can he be coached up to excel at the pro level? But I thought, you take the guy at 199 and you see what you get.
That's right.
And again, PFF liked him at that.
And running back is a weird.
I got an A+ on it. And so then in round seven.
Go ahead.
Or what? You wanted to go or?
No, you go. Go.
Okay. Round seven, my final pick in the draft. Pick 239. I just said to hell with it. I'll take a safety. I went with Kenny Logan Jr. out of Kansas. Just because if they ended up picking him, I know you'd call him Kenny Loggins at least 27 times. God.
Danger zone safety. Oh, I love this. This draft has everything.
And so my final grade from PFF was an A-.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I got the edge defender. Mm-hmm. I got the secondary wide receiver that I've wanted. I grabbed two tackles. You can argue that I reached at the tight end and at the guard, which, okay, whatever, but the Saints need O-line help. I've tried addressing that. And from there, like, basically everything from 170 down, it's dice rolls and depth.
Yeah. I mean, but here's the thing. 11 bodies, I love it. Because this roster needs it. So overall, you just said the positives of what you like about the draft. And I agree. Like, I look at these 11 guys and I think you can find three starters and a couple of nice backups. That's five dudes. That's like 10% of your roster that you're turning over in one draft, which is excellent. So that's the positive. But on the flip side, Kevin, what do you look at this draft and look at this trade that you did with Carolina to start it, where you traded out from 14 and your first two picks were 33, 39, got four in the top 100. But what do you like? Man, I like it because it's depth and it's bodies. But what do you like? You're leaving the draft going, I don't know about that.
When you trade out of the first round, I really feel like it's got to be Chop Robinson and Troy Franklin. Those guys need to play and they need to contribute year one. And one of the next three guys, either Fisher, Stover, or Zinter, need to hit. That's it. Because that's all part of the, I believe those were, well, no, the first four picks were part of it. But I still think because it was a reach at 150 with Zach Zinter, one of those next three guys has to hit.
Yeah.
So the first two have to contribute and play in year one. One of the next three have to have significant contributions for an extended period of time.
Yeah, and I wish I would have asked you this at the top, but I'll ask you to close. And I said it on our Discord. And by the way, if you're not a Saints patron, a Saints Happy Hour patron, you should become one. You get access to our Discord. Our Discord is fun. It's hopping every day. We got people fired up for the draft. We have a whole mock draft channel where Kevin's in there posting his mock drafts. Other patrons are doing it. And one of the patrons mentioned it, and I thought it was really interesting, is what for a trade do you think would Mickey Loomis have to get to move down? Like, legitimately, because he hasn't done it since 2007. What do you think he would want if Brock Bowers is there at 14? And I don't think the Carolina trade, I think it's barely plausible. I just think in division rival, it would cost so much. Carolina, I don't think they're in a stage where they're going to be like Brock Bowers is a guy that can fix everything. And basically that's what they're doing with the trade that we just did. They'd be like, he's the final piece to our puzzle. And they're so far from that, I don't think it's realistic. But what in your mind would be what it would take? Enter the mind of Mickey Loomis. What do you think it would take for him to move down to wherever you think, whether it's 5 picks, 10 picks?
I think he can't move down that far. He needs to either get another top 100 pick or two top 100 picks, and that's contingent on whether or not he gets something in 2025.
Mm-hmm.
You could get one other pick in the top 100 and say something third or fourth round in 2025. This is me projecting. So I'm projecting I'm projecting my own wants and biases and needs on this.
Yeah.
In case anybody wants to get mad at me I'm talking out of my ass. I'm on this thing talking to you, Ralph. They're not paying me money to do this professionally.
I think.
I
think that's right. I think what Mickey Loomis would need, what I think he would want, would be another top 100 pick to like move down like 5-6 spots. I think he would want another top 106, and I think he would want to flip one of those fifth round picks and get himself into the fourth round. So it would be like the Bengals give the Saints pick 19 or 20, wherever they pick, and they give them 19 and 85, and the Saints give Cincinnati 14 and 150. And Cincinnati also gives the Saints like their fourth. So it would give the Saints feel. I think the Saints to move down in the draft, while it's unlikely, the thing that it would be, it would really fill that gap between pick 45 and 150. Like it'll give them a couple of picks in that range, however, when it missed. That's what I think Mickey Loomis would absolutely have to trade down for the first time since the Obama administration.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah. Overall,
don't make me wistful here. Don't make me wistful. Wait, 2007. That wasn't Obama didn't start.
Obama didn't start until 2000. I'm
it's the end of GW.
It was Bush. Wow. We haven't traded since what is that? 1, 2, 3. We haven't traded. He hasn't traded down since three presidential administrations.
Three presidents ago. Yeah.
Oh God. So anyway, guys. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for hanging out with us. I apologize for my computer issues, but Kevin, he knows the mock drafts backwards and forwards. He knows all the players. He took the reins. He did great.
I know enough about it. That's the thing. If you're going to bullshit, you need to know enough about it to be decent enough at bullshitting. Right. That's what people forget about bullshitting.
Yeah. So, guys, go to saintshappyhour.com if you're listening to the free version of this. Become a patron. Support the show. We need you so we can keep doing this show. We can keep Thomas fed and happy in Poland.
Yeah, so I can pay this trainer to help me lose weight and get in better shape.
We need all this stuff to make it happen and grow our community. So, guys, thanks for joining us. And until next time, the bar is closed.